Now, it's that time of the evening for our Tuesday slot with Astronomy Ireland and David Moore. David, good evening to you.
Good evening.
How are you?
Fantastic.
Good. David, let's look at the moon first. I've been looking at the moon, the skies last couple of days now. There's been some lovely shots of the moon. There mightn't be a full moon, but it's lovely shots of the moon and in clear skies and maybe a bit of cloud. Looks really, really good. Tell us what's happening with the moon this week.
Yeah, well, the moon is near its first quarter phase, so semicircle in shape, as you see it in the sky. And it'll be full next week. It'll actually be, hardly surprisingly, called the cold moon. That's what we call the December full moon. And so all this coming week that we're covering, it'll be visible in the evening sky, which is good and bad. It means the moon is a spectacular sight, but it sort of swamps out anything else that's faint. Even a meteor shower coming, we'll talk about in a moment. So if you've got a telescope or even binoculars, you can get an incredible close-up view. You'll see craters with a pair of binoculars if you hold them really steady. And even the smallest telescope, since they're on a stand and you can increase the magnification a little bit, you'll not only see the craters, but you can see the mountains inside some of the craters. So it's moon watching week for sure.
For sure. And that full moon, it will be visible on Sunday, isn't that right?
That's right, yeah. And the moon looks full to the naked eye, roughly one for three nights. So one night either side as well. We'll do it. So Saturday, Sunday and Monday, which is very useful for the Irish weather, because hopefully one of those three, if not all three, will be clear.
Okay. Now, then the other four planets then in the evening skies, but you say that the moon might the quality of the light from the moon might interrupt us seeing them in their true beauty.
Well, actually, only faint objects. So the planets are grand. You can see the planets, the moon, from the middle of a city. They're that bright. So if you take them as sort of an order of when they set, Venus goes down first. So if it's clear where you are now, you'll see Venus for sure. It doesn't set till about 7 p.m. And it's about 100 times brighter than the brightest stars overhead. So it's unmistakable. Some people think, you know, it's a plane coming into land. Some people also think it's the Christmas star, which it isn't. Although it will be visible all over Christmas, back into the new year. So get used to seeing Venus low down in the southwest, up till 7 o'clock. And it paired up with the moon there last week. We'll do it again next month. And that's Venus. Now, Saturn is the next one. It's well to the upper left of Venus. But it's only as bright as about the top 10 brightest star in the sky. So not as obvious as Venus. In fact, about more than 100 times fainter than Venus. But if you've got a telescope, it will show this naked eye star, in quotes, as a planet with its own rings and its own moons if you've got a big telescope. So Saturn's certainly well worth telescope owners having a close-up look. And then next up is Jupiter, which once Venus goes down after 7, Jupiter dominates the sky until dawn. It's very high up, brilliant white object, about 10 times brighter than the brightest stars in the sky, so you can't mistake it. And if you're not sure, well, on this Saturday, you've got the moon very close to Jupiter, in fact. So if you look at the nearly full moon, it'll be full Saturday, Sunday, Monday, it'll look full. Then on the actual Saturday itself, just below the moon will be this brilliant star, in quotes, which is actually the planet Jupiter. And once you've seen it, you'll never mistake it thereafter. That's a handy signpost this weekend. Okay. And then rising about 8 o'clock over in the east is Mars. Mars is better much later in the evening, 10 o'clock onwards, say, up to midnight. And it's got a little star cluster just below it. I can faintly see it with the naked eye, even in the moonlight. And if you've got a pair of binoculars, it's a glorious sight that I recommend every binocular owner should be out watching every night.
Right. And speaking of Mars, I was on the NASA website during the week, and David, the quality of pictures coming back from Mars from the the vehicle that's on Mars at the moment.
Begins with a P, doesn't it? It skipped my mind as well.
Okay, we'll come to that in a minute.
How could we forget?
but David, the quality of pictures that are coming back from Mars right now is just unreal. Say that again.
Yeah, I mean, Perseverance rover.
Yeah, yes.
They've got, but once you spend over $1 billion going to Mars, you put a decent camera on it. In fact, it's got more than one. It has one sitting up on top of a mast, which gives it great panoramic views. It's got others watching where it's going. The little engineering cameras as well. And so not only do they have a great camera on board, but as well as that, they can actually then take a sort of panorama. Some camera phones can do this and stitch all the pictures together to make these massive high-resolution images of the entire surrounds of the actual craft itself. And so, you know, whenever there's a stunning image from Mars, because a lot of it is for the geologists who are interested in looking at rock formations, but sometimes it's just a spectacular landscape, we put it in Astronomy Ireland magazine because the pictures are so high resolution.
Now, Friday the 13th is, people call it unlucky. It's not really unlucky in disguise this Friday night because of the best meteor shower of the year.
Yeah, we've got two events happening on Friday night. The moon will actually be very close to the Seven Sisters star cluster, also called the Pleiades. Now, normally you can see it with the naked eye, but with the nearly full moon right beside it, it's probably going to swamp the cluster. But if you've got a pair of binoculars again, and this is the first telescope you should get, a pair of binoculars, 20 to 30 quid, get you a good pair, then you'll see the moon very close to the Pleiades. There's a diagram in our December magazine that shows the view through binoculars. That's certainly something to watch out for. Now, if you haven't got binoculars to look at the Pleiades Seven Sisters star cluster next to the moon, well, you just need the naked eye to watch the best meteor shower of the year. They're called the Geminids, and they peak on Friday night, Friday the 13th again. So you can have a look at the Pleiades in binoculars and then spend the rest of the evening watching the Geminids. Now, the strong moonlight will swamp all the faint ones, but it produces 20 times more meteors than a normal night. So there's plenty of bright ones still left to be seen. And I've watched the meteor shower, the Geminids, from a city suburb where it's always bright, whether the moon up or not, and got a great view. So we're recommending everybody in towns and cities, as well as those out in rural locations, to count how many you see every 15 minutes and send them in to Astronomy Ireland magazine. If you go to our website, astronomy.ie, you'll see the Geminids page there. It'll tell you the address to email them to, and your report will appear in the magazine. And also, this is how we know how these meteor showers are doing. It's amateurs, ordinary members of the public, counting them every year. That tells us which are the best. There used to be one in August was better than the one in December, and now it's flipped around. The one in December seems to be nearly twice as good as the one in August now, a bit colder to watch. But that's the Geminids, the best meteor shower of the year on Friday the 13th, along with the Pleiades next to the moon. So definitely not an unlucky date this year for astronomers.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, David, the European Space Agency this week launched Proba 3 into space. It was originally scheduled for the 5th of December, but it actually got to go off on the 6th. Now, it's intended to advance global efforts to understand the economic and technological risks of space weather. And they're using software developed or tech developed by a Cork company.
Yeah, absolutely. It's very exciting because Ireland is a member of the European Space Agency. I think the government contributes about 18 million euros a year, and we get more than that back in contracts for thousands of employees all around the country in the various aerospace industries. And this particular company in Cork used to be entirely Irish, now owned by an American corporation. They have actually managed to produce the little sensors that are going to detect where the spacecraft is, because 150 meters away, they put a big disc that's blocking the sun. And so that moves out of the way. The camera's looking at the outer atmosphere of the sun, which is much dimmer than the sun's surface, would be blinded. So the Irish mission is actually quite critical. And he's got to keep the two craft 150 meters apart within about 1 millimeter of where they should be. So that's one part in 150,000 while you're traveling at 22,000 miles an hour through space. So it's quite technically challenging. And we're hoping the Irish side will work. I'm sure it will. They have done lots of tests to make sure this works. We'll be featuring it in the next issue of Astronomy Ireland magazine. And it's also monitor the atmosphere of the sun, because we think that's where the big explosions that can wreck power grids on the Earth come from, these CMEs. They also cause the aurora, the northern lights that we predict every day on our social media. Quick tip, they'd be checking it. There's no aurora due from Ireland tonight, but there could be one tomorrow night. You never know. We keep an eye on these things every single day and post on our social media. So understanding this part of the sun is quite tricky because it's hard to see the corona, it's called, the sun's atmosphere, from the Earth. You can do it during total solar eclipses. I've been to two myself in my lifetime. Some people get hooked chasing them, and they only last a few minutes. I think the two I saw certainly were under 5 minutes, about 2 minutes or so long. But this thing can now watch nonstop for 6 hours at a time. So you can really collect lots of information during that period.
And David, the probatory, if it works correctly, will probably create the first man-made solar eclipse.
That's exactly what it's doing, yeah.
Yeah.
You can hold your hand up at arm's length and block the sun. In fact, your little finger will do it at arm's length. But the Earth's atmosphere scatters a lot of the light, so the actual blue sky is very bright. Get into space, no blue sky. Your little finger would block the sun perfectly, and you would see the corona. So astronauts could do this while they're outside the International Space Station, for example. But to have a spacecraft with lots of high-tech equipment on board that's studying in detail as modern technology can allow is going to be a game changer for people who study the sun's atmosphere. So the people who have designed the whole mission, European Space Agency, Ireland's part of it, know exactly what they're doing. The company in Cork is called OnSemi, and they're a critical part of making these total solar eclipses for the Proba 3 main spacecraft.
Okay, now, David, with the lead up to Christmas now, we're into the critical days of heavy shopping and all for presents and all of those things that people do for Christmas to buy each other for presents. Now, I remember we spoke last week, and what one thing that struck me last week of what you said was, in relation to telescopes, that it's not the magnification that's important, it's the diameter of the lens that's important. Now, telescopes as gifts, what do you recommend for, say, people starting out or medium? What do you recommend?
Well, I mentioned there earlier, a pair of binoculars, 10 by 50 binoculars are probably the best because they're mass-produced for lots of purposes, not just astronomy. 10 times 50 means they magnify 10 times, and the 50 is the width of the lens at the front. That's the diameter. That's what we say is critical, 50 millimeters across. So if you get a big telescope beyond that, by the way, those binoculars these days, you see them on sale now for 20 to 30 euros. And if you get a proper telescope, you might be looking at something with a 70-millimeter wide lens or 100-millimeter wide. The price goes up very steeply as the diameter gets wider, unfortunately, and you can spend thousands. But even 100 euros should get you a decent telescope that will show the moons of Jupiter, its cloud belts, the rings of Saturn, the craters on the moon, because a telescope, if it's well made, will be sitting on a stand, something your binoculars aren't. So you have to keep the magnification low for binoculars. Great for Mars near the Beehive Star Cluster. That's fine handheld. But if you want to count the individual stars in that cluster, a little telescope on a stand is much better. So if you just get bamboozled by all this, the two tips are, one, make sure you get a pair of binoculars at least to start. If that's not good enough, you want to spend a bit more, then go by diameter. If you see a telescope advertised on the base of magnification, you know not to touch it, because that's a misconception people have, and anyone selling you something on the base of a misconception, well, okay, tells you about their ethics.
Okay.
So go to astronomy.ie, our website. There is a guide to buying telescopes. Even we're affiliated with a big European supplier of telescopes who are very good. And if you click on our shop and go to them, they actually give astronomy on the small percentage. Won't cost you anything more. And the telescopes they have are superb, okay, and they go from literally 100 quid up to tens of thousands. But you don't need to spend thousands. 100 or 200 will get you a good one to begin with. If you get really bamboozled, contact Astronomy Ireland and we'll advise you one-on-one.
Okay, and two other gifts then are the subscription to Astronomy Ireland magazine, if they want to get that for someone for Christmas, or you can get any of the Astronomy for Beginners online classes. Even though they don't begin until January, you can actually register someone as a gift for someone in December. David Moore, CEO of Astronomy Ireland, thank you indeed for joining me on the programme, and we'll talk to you next week.
My pleasure. Merry Christmas.
And the very same to you. Take care.